We did a special where I brought Richard Hayes, who reviews bizarre direct-to-video and made-for-TV movies from every era, and we were just talking about all the crazy Steven Seagal franchises, yes, and how is there going to be a decision in our minds that has to be under Siege Free. That's just how the rest of them are just very bad European movies that have some semblance of a plot but can't decide if they want to be Ronin or just, I don't know.
Go ahead.
Can I just say one thing? If they do an Under Siege 3, it should be that the grocery store is closed and he can't get into it.
There you go. and he fights Emeril Lagasse.
Yeah.
Pow!
You say bam. I say boom.
Yeah, say whatever you want. Your 12th grade insults don't work with me.
And here's something weird about Steven Seagal movies. Have you noticed that the majority of them are three word titles?
Well, exactly. There's got to be kill or destroy or
yeah, death. Kill them all. Steven Seagal and what was it? Under fire?
Some bullshit like that, and then hire
fire down below,
and then hire an out of work Lethal Weapon or Die Hard actor to be a reporter, and then have another direct-to-video star be the villain.
Fire down below, the time when Steven Seagal got the credits.
Fire down below out of Seagal's ass.
Fire down below what he found out after when he found out Kelly LeBrock was cheating on him.
Ooh.
I will say, in closing, I will say this. Steven Seagal's best role to date, Cock Puncher.
Yes, in the Onion movie. Yeah. I will applaud the day he actually plays an actual villain, is in on the joke.
Yeah, I'm a dick from New Jersey, or so I think. There's a story Rob Schneider told about
God
when he was doing SNL, and he's like, yeah, you know, because he's known as the worst SNL host ever.
Right? Yeah. And that's some serious competition when you're going against Paris Hilton. And
so he supposedly he's like, yeah, I'm in inner peace with myself, and you know, that's the thing to be in inner peace. And one of his PAs comes over and says, Steven, your wife won't be able to drop off your kids this weekend until about maybe like, you know, 1:45. That fucking bitch better have her goddamn.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like the last sketch he ever did on that show was him busting into a bunch of like corporate these guys that weren't even SNL actors, they were just like stuntmen. God. And he busts in and he beats the crap out of all of them, and like everybody in the cast, like Rob Schneider says, he's like, what the fuck? Like, no, David Spade was like, what the hell is this all about?
I've heard every stuntman has said that he would always make sure to kick them in the nuts just to know they were his property. And it's like, motherfucker, we're not even in a scene with you.
Well, when you want to hear some bullshit, when Brandon Lee died, he went out and became like the spokesman for the family. And Linda Lee was like, Bruce Lee's widow was like, tell him to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't work for us. You're not even a martial artist.
You know, you're not a martial artist. You're an asshole, you know.
So I would pay to see that, though. Denzel Washington, Wesley Snipes, and Liam Neeson are killing Seagal. And then throw in Hasselhoff as like the
I don't know who you are. I have a particular set of skills.
There you go.
And skills and
a certain set of skills.
Lorenzo Lamas and Hasselhoff are the weapons providers, dealers. Like, these are what you're going to need.
These weapons work.
And they drown him with, like, die. Cheese puffs or something. A Trey Parker and Matt Stone film. Boom.
I always say this about Steven Seagal. His career is like every high school football player's.
Yes.
He's hot for about 4 years. And the minute he hits college, downhill.
Oh.
You know?
Didn't even break his legs because he has none. His fat fucking body.
Well, you know, you watch that thing where he was the sheriff, like he supposedly said he was
the
sheriff.
Right, and the policemen are like, look so unconvinced. Yeah. And I think one of them said he was paying them to let him beat him up. Just like
it's like Elvis when he had the sheriff's, you know, the sheriff's thing. Yeah, pull you over. No, you can't pull us over, Elvis. I know who the fuck you are. You smell like bacon and failure. Get the hell out of my sight. Get
out of my sight, Elvis. I think that's it. Just like every other hack comedian thought they were Groucho, every hack action star thinks they're Elvis or Seagal.
Well, can I just say something? Elvis doing karate is Steven Seagal doing karate. No, that's just.
The funny thing is, you ever do a high kick with a rhinestone jumpsuit? I don't think you can, but I did because I'm the kind.
The thing is, I was watching some guy talk about Steven Seagal's martial arts skills, and he said, you put him in with a guy who's like 10th degree Kenpo karate, he'll be a stain on the fucking floor. Because they say supposedly Seagal is not that well known.
Yeah.
He's like, if it was like Chuck Norris or Bruce Lee or like, you know, some guy like, you know, like Sammo Hung or something like that. Yeah. I'm saying, you know, even freaking, yeah, no, you know.
I agree. It's just funny just to even compare him on.
He's more of William Hung.
He literally will get his ass kicked. They said at one point, he says, like, you see him move now. He's gained a lot of weight. There are martial arts masters who are heavier than him that could basically rip him apart. Because what they do is their body mass, they keep moving. He doesn't move. And I remember seeing him about a couple of years ago where he dyed his fucking goatee. Like, he had a black marker.
Oh, yeah.
And he drew a goatee on his face to make himself look badass. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, let me think this out. Okay. You have someone like Stephen Chow who did freaking, you know, Shaolin soccer.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm like going, and, you know, Donnie Yen and all those guys. They could wipe him off the court. They could be like, boom, 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 and that's it. You know?
Yeah.
He says he's like, you know, he thought he could be Bruce Lee, Steven Seagal. He's more like Vivian Lee. You know? You know, I've seen him fight. He's not that good. His action, his...
Chuck Norris had a stroke. Jet Li had arthritis. What's Seagal's excuse?
Chuck Norris had a stroke?
Yeah, like recently.
No, it was actually the stroke had Chuck Norris.
Oh! Yeah.
Walker, Texas Ranger, in a walker.
My Rascal Scooter, Texas Ranger.
Oh, man, we got to do a pull the lever Seagal special.
And then all you Steven Seagal fans out there who listen to this podcast, we apologize profusely.
No, we don't.
Fat ass of Seagal's ass. Oh.
Well, the one thing I got to say about Steven Seagal is I remember that ponytail, and there was a guy I worked with who was a big Steven Seagal fan. He took martial arts lessons because of Steven Seagal, and he had his hair in a ponytail. And I'd look at him and I'd be like, "Do you like Steven Seagal?" He's like, yeah, I think he's a great martial artist. And I just like started laughing. I was like, dude, you don't even know. Who do you think is the greatest karate guy of all time? And he says, what branch are there? I said, greatest guy ever, in your opinion. He says, well, Seagal. I said, no, Bruce Lee.
I was about to say.
Bruce fucking Lee. Bruce fucking Lee could wipe Steven Seagal off the map.
Right.
He can do it now.
He could do it now.
Bruce Lee's been dead for a while.
Bruce Lee's been dead almost 50 years.
Just you wait. He's waiting for Seagal to have a heart attack from the last few bits of sushi burgers he's consumed.
Oh, yeah. And I love how the fact that Seagal now wears those big-ass kimonos.
Yes.
Like, he can hide his weight. Steven, you can put flowers on a bucket of shit, but it's still going to be a bucket of shit. You know,
I thought that was just a metaphor for KFC.
Actually, I thought it was Golden Corral's new slogan.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You know, you've hit rock bottom when you're doing a Golden Corral.
Steven Seagal special for $17.99.
All the fake sushi and
what's that? It's just a pile of food on a plate, and you see how far you can eat it, and then you gotta kick somebody's ass after you eat it.
It's literally mustard on top of a brownie and a crappy shake that looks like shit.
It's a shit.
It's a shit burger, shit shake.
Coming soon, the new shit and shake.
Oh, there you go. Shake a burger. Shake and Die, starring Steven Seagal. Fuck away my custard sauce and my shake. I'm going to puke in your mouth and then co-star kill your mother.
They should make a movie called Amber Heard and Steven Seagal called Shit on the Screen. And it's just her shitting on a screen.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
And then he just goes, whoa, you shit on the screen. You shit on the screen. Yeah, I did.
Produced by Johnny Depp.
produced by Danny Thomas Productions. There's a glass table. How about Amber Heard shits on a glass table and Steven Seagal's under it and he says, now I know how Danny Thomas felt. You know, and just do that, you know.
Oh, but, shit.
But to tell you the truth, I mean, it's Steven Seagal, I went to go see, what was that movie he did?
Was it Alfred called The Custer? Philanthropist, The Danny Thomas Story?
No. Yeah. Whenever I watch a commercial for St. Jude, and I love St. Jude, what they did with the kids and all that shit, all you think of is how many glass coffee tables are in that hospital?
Everyone literally dies at this otherwise feel-good hospital. Maybe Steven Seagal was their doctor before he became an actor.
You walk in, you're picking your kid up. They've gone through all this chemo and stuff, and that's a great thing. But as you walk out, you see a glass coffee table. You're like, you know.
We thought St. Elsewhere was fucking weird. Jesus.
We here at St. Jude believe that children. Yeah, okay, how many glass coffee tables you got?
30, and they were all killed by watching Steven Seagal movies.
So they're all
yeah. Now, well, it wasn't St. Jude, it was St. Pood.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's our sister cousin hospital.
Well, you know, they made that TV show, Make Room for Daddy. They were going to do another movie called Make Room for Daddy's Glass Coffee Table. And then they do Make Room for Granddaddy.
Irwin Allen Production. And it just shows the opening credits are stock footage of City on Fire or some other knockoff of Irwin Allen. I couldn't even afford my own explosions for that one. Universal charged too much for Towering Inferno.
Oh yeah, that's a great movie to watch if you're that's like one of the best disaster movies of all time.
Irwin Allen at his best before he just the worst to the bank.
Worst is The Storm.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got competition with that awful 1980 Paul Newman. Time Ran Out or some shit. Yeah.
I remember that one. That's the last one I think he really did, but The Swarm is the one that almost, that basically was like, the end says, please do not confuse the African killer bee with the honey bee. The honey bee is nice and kind to us and delivers. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ. But the best part is watching Henry Fonda getting stung to death.
Oh, yes.
He makes that O face.
He had memories of City on Fire.
Yeah.
Young Nicolas Cage took notes.
Wait.
Oh, yes.
You want to know something? Watch the movie Earthquake, where Lauren Green and Ava Gardner are father and daughter, and Ava Green is 5 years older than Lauren Green. And Charlton Heston, she's like past her prime, you know, because Sinatra probably, you know.
Oh, baby. Those mobsters, they do stuff.
Sinatra left his first wife for her.
Yep.
That's right.
Scumbag. Love him. And, he's a scumbag.
Yeah.
Imagine the detective with Steven Seagal. Sinatra.
Lady in Cement.
That's what lady in cement.
I would pay to see that Seagal tries a Sinatra songs using his blues band from Louisiana or some shit.
Hey, I saw him do Kung Fu Fighting on SNL and it was the worst thing ever.
Oh, don't you mean one of his movies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, this is gonna be a train wreck. This is gonna be a fucking train wreck. I'm watching that episode. I'm like, my God, this is a fucking train wreck. This is, you know, I think that's one of the worst episodes they ever had. And like, nobody had anything nice.
They
to
don't
say
even re-air it. I don't think anymore.
No,
I don't think they ever did it. Re-air
oh
it.
No,
2 or 3 they pulled out of circulation.
Along with, you know, something's bad when it's worse than the 80s season.
Yeah.
85 yeah. season.
It's so bad it has a radioactive half-life.
Oh! Warning, danger, Will Robinson.
They won't air the Sinead O'Connor episode with Tim Robbins. I think Tim Robbins was in that. They don't, well, they, no, they did. They did finally air it. They didn't, they aired the Harry Dean Stanton with the Replacements one where they said fuck on live TV.
They just bleep it. So
what,
yeah.
what they'll never air is they won't air Milton Berle.
It all comes back to freaking Milton Berle. We can't go one episode out of that fucker.
Milton Berle. They won't air Milton Berle. They won't air Steven Seagal. There's a couple they won't. I got to figure out the ones they won't air. The Charles.
I'm sure they don't re-air the Paris Hilton one.
Oh, Grodin was one of them. I want to say Andrew Dice Clay was another one.
That one is burnt and tossed in the fire. I guarantee.
No, they did that. And if you watch the beginning of that episode, they do a bit where he's like going, like they do it that, you know, the It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes. And
to a part where there's an amp and there's a pair of like woman's legs hanging out, and he said, "What's that?" It's just that's Nora Dunn. And everybody, whoa, you know, because supposedly she was not well liked. From what I well, she, you know, she pulled the whole, you know, I'm not going to be on the show if he's going to be on it bit, and Laura Michaels,
we're gonna be a dick.
Okay, you can leave now, you know, because. You know, a lot of people didn't realize that was all an act. The whole thing Dice was doing was an act. He's not like that in real life. You know, they didn't put two and two together. It's just a character that he created.
Well, the other thing is he kind of couldn't snap out of the character. Everyone, all the douchebags in the audience were like, give us more. And he's like, Mary had a little.
He did an interview in Arsenio that was really good. You know, he did an interview in Arsenio that was really good, and I think it opened up a lot of people to him. It's like Kinison, man. Kinison, you know, he wasn't like that.
Did you see the recent the Comedy Store's miniseries on Showtime?
No, I didn't get a chance to.
Yeah, definitely check it out. There's interviews with him, more exploits on Chris Farley and Kinison, as well as even interviews with people who kind of gave up comedy in favor of acting, like Tim Thomerson.
Yeah. Well, Tim Thomerson was a hilarious comic.
He really is.
He was.
The reason he was on Letterman. He's a badass.
He was so off the. I used to love it when he'd take the beer can and just smash it on his head, and then he'd fall down.
Yeah. And then,
he would do this whole bit about, what was it, Stagecoach?
Yeah.
He'd do like this whole thing with Stagecoach. Like, He was like Jim Carrey before Jim Carrey hit it big.
I'd call him Jim Carrey meets Michael Winslow. Yeah.
No, Jim Carrey, and like it's like Jeff Altman. Jeff Altman was so off the wall. And he was like Robin Williams. He was so crazy.
Oh man.
You know, unfortunately Pink, you know, he said the thing that got me. He was like, yeah, Pink Lady and Jeff came along, and it was like, Jeff who? You know, but
we got friends in the show called Comeuppance Reviews. They do cool chapters of their show, including video store memories, including just how hysterical video stores that actually existed. But I always look forward to one chapter of them when they say shoulda, coulda, been an action star, and they'll mention all kinds of people. So there you go, Jim Carrey, John. Oh man,
remember that guy, Jeff Speakman?
Jeff Speakman, yes. Would be great. He recently got
every weapon.
Yeah,
but he got interviewed recently on podcast $2 late fee. Totally check it out, that interview. Him and Don the Dragon Wilson explained their whole, where their career went, and his cancer survival story is very inspirational, because he wasn't about praying to a higher God or anything. He was all about just, it's like, I'm in it to get through it. I got this.
But I loved how, who was it? Jeff's, this comedian called Jeff Speakman, the Kung Fu Jew. Kick me, don't kick me, you know. But yeah, I remember
Kick Me at least.
Don the Dragon Wilson. Who else was it? There were so many guys that were like Sasha, what was it? Sasha Mitchell. He was
basically thrown out.
Yeah.
Olivier Gruner.
I got to cut out here.
Okay, it's okay. But we just made two episodes with this fun Seagal shit talk.
Do that. We just need to do a shit talk show.
Yeah, we should. Part two.
Shit talking Seagal.
Shit talk. Double SS. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you all.
All right, thank man.
You. Signing off. Take it to the bank. The shit bank.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsy, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the U.S., we are in the U.K., we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.